You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. On each episode, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome two special guests to the show. First, the Executive Vice President and CAC Banquet Coordinator, Morgan Dollar, will be here to talk about the Cauliflower Alley Club's 51st reunion coming up this April 11th through 13th in Las Vegas. And then Carrie Morris will be here to chat about recent WWE action. Carrie is my resident WWE expert, who I like to bring on the show to recap all the recent WWE action. And with Fastlane and, of course, WrestleMania 32 on the calendar, a lot is going on. It should be a very good show. First up, Morgan Dollar, welcome to OWW Radio.
Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm okay. Usually you and I are on the same side of the microphone. Tonight it's a little bit different.
It is indeed. I'm surprised. I don't know what's going on here.
Right. Normally we plan out the show. Listen, Morgan, I wanted to have you on OWW Radio because this is a very important time for the Cauliflower Alley Club. We're rolling towards the 51st reunion here in April. The date's the April 11th to 13th, 2016 at the Gold Coast Hotel Casino in Las Vegas. You are the Executive Vice President and the CAC Banquet Coordinator for the CAC. Tell me more about the CAC.
Well, first off, David, I want to say, you know, OWW, it's listened to all over the universe, not just the world. It's as big as WWE Network. And, hey, you can get it here for free. So I when you told me you wanted me to be on OWW Radio, I was excited to be on it because I know that this is the for-real deal, and I know a lot of people will hear it. The Cauliflower Alley Club is a 503c nonprofit organization. It raises money throughout the year for not always retired wrestlers, but predominantly retired wrestlers. We help active wrestlers and from some of the independent stars that really make a living in wrestling. We tend to help them out as well, but it's predominantly helping the older retired wrestlers that's basically living off of Social Security that don't, you know, back in the 60s and the 70s, they didn't have retirement plans, and the boys and girls got paid cash money after working a show, and they left and had cash money. And if you're like me, cash money burns a hole in your pocket and you don't save any. So they're on fixed, basically they're on Social Security, and you know, the least little thing happened health wise, you know, if they have to have a hip replaced and they can't get around, they can't work a part-time job, we're there to help them and get them over that little hump. And that's why I'm so active with the CAC, because it's my way of giving back to the workers that gave to you and me and all the listeners for all these years. So I really enjoy working with the CAC.
Yeah, Morgan, I wanted to ask you specifically, how did you get involved? Not just, you know, of course, in the position that you are now as Executive Vice President, but what made you go to the first reunion you went to?
Well, Jimmy Valiant told me in 2001 or 2002, he said, hey, you need to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club. I'd never heard of it. I looked it up online, found out about it, and I became a regular annual member. And that following year, Jimmy and Angel Valiant was going to be there, and they told us we needed to go. So me and my wife Annette, we made arrangements to go, and we went. And when my membership come up for renewal, I went ahead and bought a lifetime membership because I seen what the club was really about. and the fact that there was so many legends there, and I don't like using the word legend unless I really mean it, and there was so many legends there that I watched growing up and was watching today and had worked with a few of them, so it just, I was like a kid at Christmas time, man. It was like walking into the living room and looking under the Christmas tree and can't see the Christmas tree for all the Christmas presents. You don't know which way to look or what to do. And that's the way my first trip to the CAC reunion was.
You know, I'm glad not only are we talking about the mission of the Cauliflower Alley Club, as you mentioned, to raise money for those in need, but the reunion's a big part of it, Morgan, right? And what makes the reunion so special? If there's someone out there listening that's thinking of coming to the reunion, what makes it so special that you would say, God, get a banquet ticket, you got to be there?
Well, David, I kind of look at it like in a business, especially if you're in the wrestling business, be it the independents, booker, promoter, ring announcer, referee, worker, valet, whatever. If you're in the business, you don't never get to sit down and enjoy the person for who they really are working a wrestling show. And at the reunion, you can go and you can sit and you can relax and you can talk to all these people and you can respect them more by getting to know them and seeing really who really the person really is. And that's, to me, that's what's so amazing. And not counting the fact that, you know, we have a cribbage tournament, we have a bowling tournament, and you could be bowling against Terry Funk. You could be playing cribbage against the Destroyer, Dick Byers. You could... There's so many things going on. They have the strut off up at the bar that became a, it was a rib to start with. And now it's called the Fargo Strut Off. And people, that bar is packed full of people with people strutting like Jackie Fargo. And it just, there's so much going on. It's not long enough. It's technically it's 3 days, but really it's 4 days because Sunday night we have a free wrestling show that a list of who's who could be there. Last year, Chris Christopherson, one of the highwaymen with Johnny Cash, Chris Christopherson, he was sitting in the crowd watching his son wrestle. It just, you never know who's going to be there, and to be able to walk around and just socialize with these people, it's an amazing atmosphere, and we're all there. We might come from different walks of life. There's nobody in the Cauliflower Alley Club that I know of that is a professional taxidermist, and that's my shoot job during the week, and I teach it at a college. But now you work in computer stuff, and for us to be able to come, we're all different walks of life, but we've all got one thing in common, and that is our passion for professional wrestling, and it's just an amazing time.
Yeah, you know, Morgan, the first year I came to the reunion, I didn't even know where I was. I was so overwhelmed. There is so much going on. You nailed it, the bowling tournament, the cribbage tournament, the Casino Royale two-night wrestling show, the learning seminars, all of this going on, in addition, of course, to the big banquets in the evening where we honor the people in that class of honorees for that year. There is just so much going on. Your head is turning. Once you kind of take a deep breath and take it all in, not only is there an unbelievable opportunity to learn and to share your love of professional wrestling, you make friendships, don't you, that last forever.
Well, that's exactly right. I remember the first year you came to the reunion. You were sitting at a table in a nostalgia room, maybe with, I'm not sure, was it Diva Dirt, maybe?
Yeah, I was working for Diva Dirt and Jason Diedrich and Chick Fight at the time. That's correct.
Right, and you were sitting there, and you was almost believe it or not, you was almost Mr. Bashful David. You was so overwhelmed with everything. You were just sitting there like, you know, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the way it is. In the nostalgia room, every day that the nostalgia room is open, we have no guaranteed times of what time anybody's going to be there. And you might see Edge, you might see Beth Phoenix just come walking through out of the blue, unannounced. They
yeah,
just Sergeant walked
Slaughter.
In.
You never know.
Right. J.J. Dillon, Terry Funk, Ricky Steamboat. It's just, there's so many, and that's what's unique about our nostalgia room. Yes, there's people there selling gimmicks, but the legends and the icons of professional wrestling that come walking through just randomly, it's amazing to sit back and just watch.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and it is such a special experience to be around people that care as much about this business as we all do. And we should say, Morgan, by the way, that you can become a member of the Cauliflower Alley Club, and as you go to caulifloweralleyclub.org for all the membership details, but you still need to buy a banquet ticket. And I know for the 51st reunion, there is a great lineup of honorees already announced for this year. For example, Morgan, you're giving out the Luthez Art Abrams Lifetime Achievement Award to Arn Anderson this year. Talk a little bit about why Arn Anderson is a great choice for that award.
Well, anybody could write a book about Arn Anderson. I mean, he has done so much. And even after his wrestling career, he continues to give back. And a lot of these, what he calls his kids, are up-and-coming superstars on WWE right now. He has mm-hmm. helped so many behind the scenes and helped people with their character and ring psychology and his own career. Like I say, just his own career. He had an outstanding wrestling career, and when his name come up, it was unanimous with the voting, and so he will be in Las Vegas this April.
That's pretty exciting. Anybody who's a fan of professional wrestling knows who Arn Anderson is and understands his impact. And he is being honored really with a wonderful award here by the CAC this coming April. Again, the Luthez Art Abrams Lifetime Achievement Award going to Arn Anderson. But Morgan, the list of honorees this year just gets better and better. For the first time ever, the Iron Mike Mazurki Award is being given to a female. Trish Stratus, the diva of the decade, one of the most influential female wrestlers in WWE history, is going to be in Las Vegas, correct?
That's correct. And the only thing I know to say is tell me what Trish Stratus has not done in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Trish really was a big impact on changing the female wrestling persona or the direction that the female wrestling was going.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like she was a big impact on that, as well as Beth Phoenix, and we honored her. She's been honored with the CAC, at the CAC. So we're not biased. We honor both males and females, and we felt that it was fitting for Trish to be the first recipient of this award because of all of her contributions, both in and out of the ring.
Oh, yeah. The CAC has done a nice job honoring a lot of females. In fact, last year, Gail Kim, Beth Phoenix, there were four women honored last year at the reunion. It was a pretty special group. Molly Holly has been honored. I mean, of course, Judy Martin and Melissa Anderson, and it goes on and on. I wanted to say about Trish Stratus, though, Morgan. You and I had the pleasure of interviewing her on our other radio show, CAC Radio. What a delight she is, isn't she?
Oh, she really is. And I've never met Trish, and I'm really looking forward to meeting her this year at the reunion. She just, man, she was happy-go-lucky on that radio interview, just bubbly and just so excited about being honored by the club. So I'm really looking forward to meeting her.
Yeah, you know, find one person who doesn't love her. I mean, everyone who's met her just thinks she is down to earth and a great person. I'll give you one quick Trish story. I met her in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30 weekend. She was appearing at one of the WWE Access fan sessions, and this is no exaggeration. When it was her time for the autograph signing, her line, Morgan, was 3 times longer than anybody else in the building at the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, her popularity is very tangible, and I think that she is not only a landmark honoree for the CAC, giving this to a female, the Iron Mike Mazurki Award. She's very, very deserving. We should mention also, of course, the yoga business that she started. The big part of the Iron Mike Mazurki Award, correct me if I'm wrong, Morgan, is that you have to have not only a professional wrestling pedigree, but you've got to make an impact outside the world of professional wrestling, and she's certainly done that. She's been Businesswoman of the Year for her yoga business.
That's exactly right, and I believe, David, and you may know more about this than I do, but I think I'm right. I'm thinking before she even got into professional wrestling, she might have had a some kind of physical fitness TV show, or she was involved with some kind of physical fitness programs, and that's what caught the attention of the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she certainly was a very, very well-known and highly used bikini swimsuit fitness model, was doing very well for herself. So right at the top, you have Arn Anderson and Trish Stratus being honored by the club this year, Morgan, but that is not it. Listen to this other group of individuals being honored. Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and Ken Patera are both being honored with men's wrestling awards. Paul Orndorff and Ken Patera, Morgan, you could argue two of the greatest heels of their time.
That's exactly right, and I'm curious to see how Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff and Mr. Wonderful Rock Riddle get along at the reunion this year. That should be exciting.
Yeah, Rock Riddle takes that gimmick pretty seriously, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, no doubt. But yeah, Paul and Ken are both outstanding wrestlers, and, you know, maybe the CAC's not perfect. They've not always done things perfect, and I don't understand for the life of me why these two hadn't already been honored. But once we realize that they hadn't been honored, well, they're getting honored this year.
I think it's going to be a great moment in Las Vegas when both of them accept their awards. I was a big fan of both of them growing up. The High Flyers, Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzell, are going in with the Tag Team Award this year. Demolition, actually, last year was the first ever CAC Tag Team Award recipient. This year it's the High Flyers for their work in the AWA. Very exciting. Lance Russell's being given an Announcer's Award. Pepper Martin is being given the Real Award, R-E-E-L, for his work in film and television, and, of course, also in wrestling. And then we have something called the Charlie Smith Award, Morgan, the first ever being given to Mr. James Beard as a referee. Now, you, as an award-winning referee yourself, that's got to be pretty cool, right?
It is. It really is. And so many times people name awards after somebody after they have passed, and to keep their name alive. And to be able to name an award after Charlie Smith, who's been a CAC member forever and a day, to be able to name that award after him and him be a part of it, that is, to me, that is more important than any recipient that will ever receive that award, is the fact that we've named that award after Charlie while he's still living and he can be a part of that award.
Absolutely. We had James Beard on CAC Radio last week. I thought he was a great guest. I encourage people to go to CauliflowerAlleyClub.org to hear that interview. I didn't know a lot about James, and I really enjoyed catching up with him, and I can't wait for his participation at the 51st reunion coming up in April. One other award that's been announced, Morgan, is that Sue Atchison will receive the Jason Sanderson Humanitarian Award. For those who may not be as familiar with Sue, can you fill people in on why she's so deserving of that award?
Sue is the liaison between WWE, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and any and every request that comes to WWE. You were speaking about Charlie Smith. in March the 12th in Monroe, Georgia. There'll be a Charlie Smith appreciation show, and all the proceeds go to the CAC. And the WWE, Sue was contacted and told that all the proceeds of that show was going to be donated to the CAC. So they have boxed up a big box of items and are mailing them to Monroe, Georgia to be auctioned off. And every penny from that auction will go to the CAC. That's the type of work she does. She's, the Make-A-Wish Foundation is a big thing. I think John Cena probably has done more Make-A-Wish wishes than anybody. And all that went through Sue Atchison. So she has given for years and years and years. And I was told by a real good source that because there was so many inner office personnel that is never seen on TV, their names are never mentioned, that work with Sue are coming to the reunion only because of her being honored with this award. That's how prestigious they feel it is. So I'm really looking forward to Sue getting recognized for all her contributions.
Now, that's pretty exciting. I do want to point out that not only are these individuals being honored, they are being presented the award by an individual of their choice. And sometimes, Morgan, it's pretty remarkable who shows up to do these presentations. Check CauliflowerAlleyClub.org. Again, you know, sometimes that information is kept private until the actual reunion. Sometimes it's posted. But you and I both know some of the presenters this year are just jaw-dropping.
They really are. First-time attenders of the CAC reunion, people that's never been honored at the reunion, but once they found out one of their good friends was being honored, a couple of them contacted the honoree and said, look, I would be honored to present you the award. And the person thinking, you know, I would have liked for him to give me that award, but there's no way he can make it because of his schedule. But when the presenter contacted them, that changed things, and there's going to be a lot of people's going to really be surprised.
Absolutely. And I want to just give a few other details about the CAC, Morgan. This is not a fan fest, right? I mean, this is an opportunity for the wrestling community to honor these individuals and to raise money for a great cause. But this reunion is not a fan fest, correct?
That's correct, David. We have the nostalgia room that's during the day, and there's wrestlers sitting in there selling 8x10s, autographed. They'll take pictures with you, all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to the banquet nights, the Tuesday night Bockwinkle Blowout, who, by the way, last night I talked to Darlene Bockwinkle, and she will be attending the Bockwinkle Blowout Tuesday night, the wife, late wife of Nick Bockwinkle. But we ask for people to show respect when you go into the banquet room. That's almost like sacred ground. And we don't want people to, while the show's going on, while people's eating, we don't want people going up asking for autographs and asking for photo ops and stuff like that. There'll be time before and after the event. So we like really true, dedicated fans, indie workers, professional wrestlers, active, retired, wives of wrestlers, husbands of wrestlers, whatever. It's just a good, it's a reunion. That's why it's called a reunion. It's a get together of the boys and the girls, and very few fans, the true dedicated fans, and a place for the indie stars to come to the learning tree for 3 days. So we try to keep it down. We don't like, there's plenty of fan fest all over the United States. You can find a fan fest every month. So we stay away from the fan fest aspect of the reunion.
You mentioned past president, the late, great Nick Bockwinkle. The Tuesday night event renamed, actually, the Bockwinkle Blowout in his honor. The current president is a Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer, Brian Blair. And, of course, you work very closely with him as you are the executive vice president of the club as well. Talk a little bit about Brian Blair and your working relationship with him and why the two of you can carry the CAC forward.
Well, I've been involved with the board of directors for over 10 years. And mm-hmm. when Nick stepped down before he passed, we talked about it, and I went to Brian and talked to Brian about it, and I felt like that me and Brian could work together and carry the club into the future and keep it going for another 50 years. I doubt very seriously I'll be around in 50 years. March the 15th, I turn 50, so I figure I'll be around for another 20, 25 years, and then I'll give it to some of you young whippersnappers and let you deal with all the problems we deal with. But Brian knows lots of people. Brian has been, he's been real active in getting a lot of people to join the club, older retired wrestlers that had never come to the reunion. He's been real active with that. So Brian's done a whole lot, and I just kind of pick up loose ends here and there and work with things.
Well, don't tell yourself short, Morgan. You're vital to the club, and I tell you, you look pretty good for someone who's about to turn 50.
Well, I appreciate it. I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm 25, and then my wife reminds me, no, you're not 25 anymore. You're 50. So sometimes I feel like I'm 75.
You know, Morgan, it's a good time to bring up your background. I mentioned earlier that you're an award-winning referee yourself. Tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how you got into pro wrestling.
Well, I know Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man, back in the 90s. And he kept after me and kept after me. And I finally ended up refereeing a match for him one night, didn't know what I was doing. He told me, he said, we'll walk you through it, just get in the ring, you know what to do. And I didn't know. Only thing I knowed what to do was that I'd watched Tommy Young, a famous NWA referee from the Jim Crockett promotion, for years, and I kind of thought, what would Tommy do? So that's the way it went, and one thing led to another, and I've had a very successful referee career on the independent scene. I've worked all up and down the East Coast. Texas, I've worked Texas, Missouri, Kansas, of course, Las Vegas. So I've got to go around a lot of places that I would have never seen if it wasn't for professional wrestling. To be able to go work a show and stay a day or two in a town. When I worked in Fort Worth, Texas a couple of years ago for IHWE, me and the wife stayed over a couple of days, and we went to the stockyards in Fort Worth, Texas, and really had a good time. And to be able to meet the fans and go around, it's just been an amazing career. And I was talking to Jimmy Valiant 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's amazing how a independent wrestling referee has taken over the position of executive vice president for the Cauliflower Alley Club.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought that. 20 years ago, I would have told you, you would have been full of it if I looked at my phone and seen it was Ivan Koloff and had to flip it over to voicemail because I was talking to Harley Race.
Right.
You know, or Jim Ross or J.J. Dillon or Diamond Dallas Page or some of these people. And it's all happened because of the Cauliflower Alley Club. I've always said that, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'll never be in WWE Hall of Fame. I never worked for WWE, but I've had a great time on the independent scene. And I talked to Shannon Moore after he left WWE. We booked him at a show, and shortly after he left WWE, and he told me, we gave him no time limit. We said, whatever you guys want to do, you do it. And after the match, when we got out of the ring, he told me, he said, Morgan, I have never had this much fun in a wrestling match, because WWE says, okay, you've got 6 minutes. Well, 2 minutes of that is going to the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Another minute of it's going after the match, out of the ring. So you've got 3 minutes to get in the ring to do what you want to do. And because it's televised, and I totally understand that's a major business. They've got to get all their sponsors in and all this good stuff. Can't really enjoy their matches like they do on the independent scene. I'm a big proponent of independent wrestling. If people want to see a really good show where it's not about I'm making millions of dollars to be here, I'm making $50 if I'm lucky to be here, but I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you everything I can bring to the table. You can really see some good matches at independent wrestling shows.
Mm-hmm. Morgan, I wanted to ask you, for those out there that were interested in becoming a member of the Cauliflower Alley Club, what does the yearly membership entitle you to get?
It entitles you to get, when you become a member, you will get anywhere from 6 to 8 newsletters every year. It varies. Some years there's more, some years there's less. And the $25 that you pay for a membership, that covers your newsletters. And the rest of it goes to the Benevolent Fund to help people. The amazing thing about the Cauliflower Alley Club, you're on the executive board, you know the deal. We bust our butt 365 days a year, and we don't get paid one dime. Nobody gets paid any. There's no salary whatsoever in the CAC. Everybody, the web server for the website is donated. It's paid for out of pocket by someone else. It's the only organization I know that is big as it is, and there is no payroll, absolutely nothing. The only expense we have is postage and printing the newsletter and mailing them, stuff like that. That's the only expense we have. So that $25 goes, you giving $25, I see it all the time. Such and such wrestler needs help. They get a funny page going or whatever. And I'm sitting back looking, thinking, yep, they sure do. But you know what? We've already helped them. And we don't broadcast that. And lots of times people say, well, you know, such and such is really on hard times. He really needs some help. Okay, well, I'll check into it. The fact of the matter is I'm lying to him because we've already helped him.
Right, right.
And we never make it public. If the recipient wants to make it public, that's totally cool. We're thankful for them to recognize, to acknowledge that the CAC helped them out. But we, as an organization, we don't mention it. Because, hey, let's face it, if you had somebody that you thought was a total superstar in the 70s making all these big hundreds of thousands of dollars a year back then, you would really be surprised at the ones that really basically don't have nothing but a Social Security check.
Right.
And when things happen, they don't want to ask for help. Lots of times we have to reach out to them because they're too embarrassed to say, look, I've hit rock bottom. I need some help. So when we catch wind of it, we reach out to them, and sometimes they even say no. And sometimes they say, it would be a blessing. I would deeply appreciate it. So it's nice to know that it's an organization that's really, truly, honestly helping people.
No, I couldn't have said it better myself. The website, again, caulifloweralleyclub.org. You can also follow them on Twitter at CAC Reunion. And it was my pleasure today to be joined by the Executive Vice President and CAC Banquet Coordinator, also my good friend and CAC Radio co-host, Morgan Dollar. Morgan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
David, man, it's always a walk in the park, man, working with you on OWW, on the CAC Radio, at the reunions. I always have a good time. you bring a vibe around to people, and everybody just enjoys you around. And hey, man, it's my honor to be able to even work with you.
Thank you. Anyone listening got everything they could want to know about the 51st reunion. Again, it's April 11th to the 13th, 2016, at the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Check CauliflowerAlleyClub.org for all the details. Morgan, I'll talk to you real soon.
All right, buddy. You take care. Thanks again, David.
Well, it was great having Morgan Dollar on the show today. Again, he is the Executive Vice President and CAC Banquet Coordinator. So thank you again to Morgan Dollar. And let's go ahead and call Kerry Morris and talk about everything going on in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kerry, welcome to WW Radio. How are you doing this evening?
I am good. How are you?
Good. We haven't caught up in a while, and thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I always love bringing you on when there's a lot of WWE action going on, and right now that's certainly no exception. I wanted to ask you, how was Orlando? You were down for the Royal Rumble, correct?
Yes, I was down for the NXT tapings, All Access, Task Performance Center event at Rumble, and then Raw in Miami the night after.
Tell me about the performance center.
Oh, that was awesome. 8 hours. I mean, I got to be a manager for their live event they put on, got to cut a promo on Finn Balor in the green room, commentating a match with Kyle Edwards, make my own entrance. I did Stone Cold Steve Austin, got to come down the ring, actually climb into the ring, and man, it was just unbelievable. I mean, I literally having breakfast with the top stars of NXT. We're sharing pictures on our phone. We're talking about just life in general, and absolutely a blast and fun.
It sounds like the experience at the Performance Center, I mean, that was a real highlight of the trip. Almost, what was it, even more exciting than the Rumble? Because you've been to Rumbles before, right?
Yeah, this is my fifth Rumble. And this is probably the best Rumble I've been to of all the five I've been to. But I will say this, it's going to be hard for Mania weekend to top this with after the NXT tapings and then like seeing The Rock on Monday, but especially the Performance Center. It's going to be tough for Dallas to beat that.
I think that's pretty cool that they built the Performance Center. It's great for the company, but then to open it up to people like yourself and give you a really different experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to do it again at some point. I know they're going to hold another event, and just actually climb into a real ring, step through the ropes and climb on the ropes and stuff like that. I mean, that's just come walk down the ramp, and even Triple H made a surprise appearance and hung out with us and had lunch with us, and just unreal.
Tell me about the NXT taping. You're a big NXT fan, right?
Oh, yes. And especially after spending time with them, even more of a big fan. They held a Friday. Tonight they showed hour two of what was a four-hour taping. It was just nonstop, match after match. They didn't even give us any promos or anything in the back for interviews. It was just match after match after match. And then they gave us a dark match of Finn Balor versus Neville.
Wow.
Yeah, so a long night, especially for them.
Well, how many people can they get in the NXT taping area? If you think about a normal arena, I mean, is it a full crowd every time? Is it a pretty lively crowd?
Well, this wasn't Full Sail. They held it at the University of Central Florida's college campus arena.
Okay.
So it wasn't the Full Sail, but it wasn't sold out. I would say it's probably half to 60% full. There's still a lively crowd. But I think, if I remember correctly, all the upper deck was tarped off, and there's some seats on the lower level that were empty as well.
Well, they still get a crowd that most indie promotions would be thrilled with, wouldn't you say?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, seriously. Definitely. And to have like the women win, just having the crowd reactions and the way their fans are just hardcore and into it.
I didn't know that the Performance Center was part of your tour down there. In general, how do you like the city of Orlando? Is that a good place to... Okay, you went to WrestleMania, what, 24 there?
Correct, uh-huh. I mean, I like, obviously, Orlando January versus Chicago January. I'll take that any day. it wasn't bad. I say not bad, but, there's not a whole lot to do if you don't have a car. So for, like, finding stuff in walking distance was hard to do. You say spend a lot of money on cabs or Uber rides. It wasn't like New Orleans where we had everything in walking distance. So that's, it's good for what it is, but it's definitely a big suburb.
I'm glad you brought up New Orleans. That's kind of why I asked the question. I thought when we were down there for WrestleMania 30, the highlight of the entire trip for me, Kerry, was all of us could just walk from place to place. Remember how much time we spent waiting around for trains and taxis and everything in New York?
Yes, and I would say that's the difference. That's why I liked my SummerSlam trip last year being in Brooklyn, because, you know, you just took a train out to the arena, 20 minutes took you right there, right back at the hotel, literally, and there was really no waiting on trains at all. Trains would come every few minutes, but it's everything else in walking distance, and, you know, like New Orleans. So, and it looks like Dallas is mostly that way, too, where they have us set up.
Yeah, we'll talk here about WrestleMania 32 coming up. I wanted to ask you, though, you said of the five Royal Rumbles you've been to, this was your favorite. So give me your thoughts overall on the card itself, why this was one of your favorites, and your thoughts on Triple H putting himself over there in the main event.
I liked it for one, the crowd. I was into the Rumble match. The way it was laid out was perfect. You know, having AJ Styles come out getting the biggest pop of the night. Sasha Banks had the second biggest pop. I like how they set up her and Charlotte for a potential Mania match. Mm-hmm. Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, obviously always work well together, never a bad match. Rumble is no exception. You know, New Day is always awesome. Can't go wrong with New Day. Kalisto and Alberto. I think the crowd was a little dead because they just assumed that Alberto was going to win, but as soon as Kalisto won, the crowd really got into it and popped big for that, and they were surprised. And I think I actually really liked the finish of it.
Are you okay with Triple H having the championship?
Yes, because, I mean, it's kind of what they have to go with. You know, if Seth Rollins wasn't injured, I'm sure we'd have a totally different picture. But given the injuries, you know, it's kind of like, you know, well, this is the best-case scenario. So, yeah, I'm okay with it because he's not going to be a long-term champion.
Well, that brings me to a point I was going to ask you later on, not related to any specific show, but I see your point. Really, they're a little thin at the top right now. With injuries, of course, to Daniel Bryan and his subsequent retirement, Seth Rollins, Cesaro, Wade Barrett's hurt, John Cena. There's a lot of people injured. And, you know, Kerry, my question for you, though, is we don't sometimes give enough credit to John Cena for answering the bell every night. You know, and he's hurt now, but he's been a real stalwart for the company, as has Triple H, as has The Undertaker over the years. Some of these new guys, like Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, that they put the title on and then physically got injured. Is that a trend? Is it just bad luck? Is it that these guys kill themselves in the indies all these years, and when they finally get to the big time, their bodies are just worn out? Is that fair?
I would say yes. I think that's part of it. I think they, like JR says, they work harder, not smarter, to get those pops and that this is awesome chance when they should be selling more, working less. I think also when you have smaller guys, you have guys who aren't exactly juicing on the good stuff like in the old days, so therefore you can't recover as fast, you know, mm-hmm. if you're not taking the other recreational fun stuff because they're being tested more, you're going to have more injuries, you know, versus back in the day when you had guys who were bigger who could sustain more injuries, who could take stuff to, you know, get past those injuries. Trying to put that in a politically correct way there.
Yeah.
But good mix of fact, like Daniel Bryan, like he's been around for God knows how many years, all the concussions he had. You know, doing those big moves just to get noticed, just to make it to the big time.
I had a comparison to Ralph Sampson, the basketball player for University of Virginia that played 4 years in college, and by the time he got to the NBA and was a star, he was an all-star, he was a great player for Houston, his knees and body just gave out. If he was playing, of course, that was back in the 80s. If he was playing today, he'd play 1 year in college. And by the time he got there, his body would be a lot fresher. And I was just thinking about Ralph Sampson and his comparison. And Daniel Bryan, I think that there's some parallels there. And the Daniel Bryan retirement, we should touch on it now, Kerry, while his name is fresh here. How do you feel about that? I mean, you and I certainly saw what I would consider the pinnacle of his wrestling career in New Orleans.
Yes. Yeah, definitely the pinnacle. And then, you know, they're going to do the thing with him. Being, you know, bring back prestige to the Intercontinental title, having defended that exclusively on SmackDown every week, which I was looking forward to. But, you know, it's like he said, he's had concussions for how long, and he had the lesions, and they found a lesion in his brain. He's had seizures, concussion-related seizures for how long?
Oh.
And he kept that hidden? Imagine if he kept going. Then what? I mean, it could have been a whole lot worse.
Right. And what's real shame, Kerry, is that it's very hard in this business, I think, to build stars. I don't think Vince gets enough credit for what he's been able to do as a promoter since he took over, but you can't just snap your fingers and put someone at the top of the show. And here they really didn't.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, and it's one of those, he does not get a lot of credit. He does not get the credit he deserves. But I still think sometimes egos, politics get in the way of making stars, you know, trying to force feed someone when they shouldn't, instead of letting things build organically, naturally. I think one of the biggest mistakes, I know I said in the store on this show, and I said I don't know how many times, the biggest mistake now versus like 16 years ago when Austin went down. Austin's out with an injury, which you have Rock and Triple H right there to take over that spot because they're ready. You've had John Cena at the top so long with no one near as an equal. He's out with an injury. You have no one there right there to take over, and you've screwed yourself over by making him all the Superman, by focusing on one person and him being the superhero with no one really being close to an equal. Now you're kind of screwed. And I think that I think that was not a smart decision. I've been saying that for years. You got to have guys that, you know, that's a good close second right under, ready to go in case that top star goes down.
Well, there's a show this weekend, of course, coming up, WWE Fastlane. What do you think about the card they put together here in advance of WrestleMania 32?
You know, I'm so excited. I'm going to the show. I'm going to be excited for it. I'm going to have fun. But part of it is like, I don't know. It's the plan, from my understanding, was to make it more of an A-level show to get people excited about WrestleMania. But it just seems like they haven't done as much as they could to make this an important show to build towards Mania. Because after Sunday, you've got six Raws and six SmackDowns. You got to sell the 100,000 people. You got to mean balls to the walls, get going. And I'm just not getting that sense of urgency.
There was always what we consider WrestleMania season, starting with the Royal Rumble. And I kind of liked the Elimination Chamber, although I thought it was an easy way for WWE to kind of course correct and fix maybe what they thought wasn't working heading into WrestleMania, or if something happened to the Royal Rumble that didn't go over like they thought, they could kind of use the Elimination Chamber to course correct that
exactly
a little bit so they wanted in, you know, in WrestleMania. Do you feel they're kind of doing that with Fastlane?
I think they're kind of teasing stuff with the triple threat. You know, they're teasing, you know, could Dean Ambrose actually come ahead and win? Could he turn heel and cost Roman the match and go on to main event? They're kind of teasing a little bit with Lesnar and Triple H. And so, I mean, I like that they're doing that. But it's kind of like the rest of the card. You know, I will say they did a good job with Brie and Charlotte this past Monday on Raw. Charlotte coming off like a true heel. But other than that, the rest of the match is kind of like, okay, where are you truly going? Do you have a direction? And if you do, you need to start laying it out now, not just throwing it at the last minute. I have an idea where they're going, but are you really truly getting that across to your audience?
Well, you bring up Charlotte. I think that the WWE has done a decent job with some new talent in the Divas division. Sasha Banks mentioned earlier, Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think the Divas, Carrie, have shown the ability to put on some interesting matches. We see that in NXT, carried over to the main roster here in WWE. Do you expect a big WrestleMania payoff for at least one Divas match?
I'm hoping so. You know, like Charlotte versus Sasha, maybe throwing Becky Lynch or even Paige or a triple threat or Fatal 4-Way. You know, they could put on a hell of a show. Just get rid of that damn Divas belt, call it the women's belt. This is not the 1950s, but yeah, I think it could culminate in something big, for at least one big Divas match, if not two.
Well, it's pretty interesting how now I guess we have a Bella twin retiring, and there are not many of the quote-unquote old guard Divas left. When I started getting into this business back in 2009, they're almost all gone from WWE except for Natalya and Alicia Fox,
mm-hmm.
and then the Bellas. And I never would have thought Alicia Fox would have hung on in WWE this long. And let's give her just a little bit of credit, because, you know, she's not a star in the company, but she's still collecting a paycheck in the world's largest, most influential professional wrestling company. And I kind of respect that.
Oh, you got to respect that. She's still hung on and working hard. So yeah, all props to her. And you look at the women they have now, the women in NXT that are going to be brought up, they're going to have a hell of a women's division. I mean, there are definitely some big things, you know, going into Mania and beyond when they start calling more of them up. Even the same with the tag teams. They got so many good tag teams in NXT. You start calling them up, man, you could have a hell of a tag team. The glory days like back in the day of the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation.
You know, I've worked shows with Deonna Purrazzo before. She won the Super 8 Chick Fight Tournament this past October at a show I worked. And Deonna Purrazzo is really interesting to me. She's very, very beautiful. and she can really work in the ring. So and it wasn't long after she won that Super 8 Chick Fight tournament in October that she then moved on to NXT and got a real break here. What do you think of Deonna? Have you seen her wrestle before?
Oh, I did see her at the Performance Center, and I mean, they were, and even Bailey said, "Man, she's going to be the next one of the next big things out there." They said, "Give it a little time to learn the WWA and get her called to the main roster." And they said, "Yeah, she'll be a big time player," and I agree with it.
I'd like to see her, Carrie. I'd like to see her kind of get through the WWE machine, you know, because she's very pretty and she has a great body and she can really move and work in the ring. But boy, once they put her in like the right kind of ring gear and you know, the makeup and the hair and the photography sessions and you know, get her the glitz and glamour that they can do in WWE, I think she has a chance to be really interesting. So I'm really pulling for her. I did want to ask you, I find it interesting, they've kind of reformed the Wyatts and the Shield to a degree. Of course, Seth Rollins out, but Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns back together and the Wyatts are back together. You and I talked on the radio about how they broke these teams up. Why did they ever do that in the first place? Because I don't think the reunions or the current groupings are as special.
I think with the Shield, they wanted a hot shot of an angle. They just, like they say in TV, jumped the shark. Then it was too soon. They were too hot. You should have kept them going a little bit longer. The Wyatt, I don't know what the hell was up with that. They thought it was better to make Bray a star and breaking out his own, but having him with the wife, I think, what made him special in the first place, being that cult leader. So I'm glad they're back together, but just keep doing something with it. That, you know, 2014, the first half, man, I mean, the Wyatt versus the Shield, man, people are eating that up and going crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Then I read something the other day that Vince McMahon apparently loves Braun Strowman, and there may even be a huge payoff for him at WrestleMania or at the very least SummerSlam. Do you think this guy is the next big player in WWE?
You know, from what I've heard, considering the one proposed match that got a lot of backlash on the internet, I think they're going to do the right thing by having him win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. From my understanding, people said who've seen him really truly work, they said you'll be amazed at what he can do for his size, and that he'll prove that, you know, Vince is right in pushing him. So I'm curious to see, you know, have him win the Battle Royal, slowly build his push, don't force it, don't rush it. And then if he can truly do all these special things in the ring, you know, let him have at it and show it. Make sure he can show it off.
Now, you are definitely going to Dallas for WrestleMania 32. It's your hometown, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. It's extra special for me.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I knew there's a reason that we're friends. I mean, you're from Dallas and you went to North Carolina. And, by the way, don't tell me the score. I have the game Tebow tonight against Duke. I'm about halfway through it. So after we're done the radio interview, I'm going to go watch the end of the Tar Heels game. They're having a pretty good year. I told you I went down to Chapel Hill in December, right?
Yeah. Best vacation I ever had, huh?
It was one of them. And my son had a great time. And just to be in the Dean Dome again was pretty cool. But so you're going to Dallas for WrestleMania 32. We get to see friends and family down there?
Yeah, I'm going early to spend time with the parents and my brother and the family for a couple of nights. Then I'll go make my way to the travel package hotel and do all that stuff. And then I'll head back home the Tuesday after Mania.
What special events are they hosting?
You know, the usual, they're having, you know, access at all four events. They're having the NXT TakeOver, which seems to be the hottest ticket in town right now, at the Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. It's an old arena where the Mavericks played way back in the 70s. I think even 80s, too, I think, or early 80s. And, of course, Mania being out in Arlington at the stadium and Raw. And, of course, going to JR's show at the House of Blues, Hall of Fame, you know, going to see Sting be inducted. I think Ring of Honor is doing a couple shows there, maybe even a taping as well, and some other groups like Evolve and a few other indie groups are coming there putting on shows.
So is the main event, Kerry, going to be Triple H defending against Roman Reigns?
I think that's what they're leaning towards. I mean, you know, you never know what could happen. You know, I personally, like I saw people earlier tonight, part of me thinks they've got really something secretive planned and they're keeping it so tight-lipped they don't want any leaks, which I agree. I don't want any spoilers. I don't want anything leaking out. I think only Vince, Stephanie, and Triple H know what's truly happening. They're not letting anybody else know. But if they go their route, I've heard rumors what they might add to the match to make it feel special.
I wanted to ask you, has the WWE Network made pay-per-views a little less special? Because when I was really into it, you know, it was exciting in a way to have to call your cable operator to order the show or to go out to Hooters or a bar or something to watch it, or scrounge together the $24.95, whatever it was, to get a pay-per-view, even more in some cases. You know, has the WWE Network $9.99 a month, and it's kind of add in these pay-per-views to that. Have they made them a little less special?
To me, no. I know what you're talking about. I remember meetings, you know, can I call your cable pay-per-view provider, you know, back in my, you know, for SummerSlam 89, it was like $12.95 for pay-per-view, and it was $19.95 or $24.95 for WrestleMania 6, and it was special then because you only had four pay-per-views back then, you know, and then by, all of a sudden, you know, come 95, you have one every month, and then, of course, by then, you're ordered by remote, by you know, Attitude Era, you're ordering by remote, and having one every month. I would say probably not, because with the network, like, you know, you go to places like the Square Circle, it's cheaper than to get the network and carry it versus trying to get it through a cable operator.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably not.
Certainly the cost is tremendous.
What they're costing now, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't get as excited when I used to get together with my friends at the Green Turtle or whatever, because, you know, the WWE pay-per-view was on and we were building towards it every month. It seems like they've kind of become just, okay, I'm going to watch Fastlane Sunday night, then I'll just watch Raw on Monday, and it'll be all rematches anyway.
I mean, honestly, to me, they've been doing that for a long time, off and on, so that's kind of me, and my mentality is I'm kind of used to that. I kind of know when the shows are kind of bigger, more important versus some of the lesser ones. They've kind of had the mentality for years, it seems like. If anything, hopefully, if they're going to make or break themselves with the network, they'll strive to make everything more special, to retain subscribers and then add on to new ones, if that's going to be basically their bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. I loved having you on OWW Radio tonight. You are the Squared Circle guy, correct? At all the shows?
Yes, with WWE Squared Circle guy.
Yeah, so tell me more about that, the Squared Circle, that venue, what it is, what they do, and why you support it so much.
I support it because I am friends with the owners. They're good people. They have a good staff. The food is great, including the burger that's named after me, the pizza burger, which is the best thing on the menu, of course. They have a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun events. You know, you got Fastlane you can watch Sunday. Lisa, you know, Victoria is coming back for Monday to watch Raw with the crowd there at the restaurant. Got the party bus going to and from Chicago March 7th and the wonderful after party. Last time we had Seth Rollins show up. You never know who might show up for the after party, hang out and have some drinks with. And of course, you got the WrestleMania party coming up there at 2418 North Ashland, just north of Fullerton.
That's pretty cool. And what's your Twitter handle again?
Oh, WWE Squared Circle Guy, SQD Circle Guy.
SQD Circle Guy. Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I will make sure to post that, of course, along with the interview. Kerry, I always love having you on OWW Radio to talk about everything going on in World Wrestling Entertainment. This really is WrestleMania season, and no better guest to have than you. You go to all the big shows, so thank you for your insight today.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it as always.
You got it. I'll catch up with you real soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care. Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com. for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thanks again to Morgan Dollar and Kerry Morris for today's interviews. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's okay.